Hey, 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 what's up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Friday, August the, what is that, the 19th, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show for you today. Man, Praise Break Friday. You know it, Praise Break Friday. What does that mean? It simply means this. The topic or the conversation is definitely always going to be about praising God and making sure we're giving him what he is owed. Amen. Today's topic should be good. Are you insulting God in worship? Are you insulting God in worship? That's a real question. That's a real question. And we're going to answer that in a little while. Amen. But look, let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening and you've already dialed in, you just simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, real simple. Simply call in area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546, and you can be a part of the show. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can be a part of the show as well. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Real simple. Tweet the show. That's at @TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at @TTLO Radio. We would love, again, like I said it before, we would love to hear from you. You want to email the show, simple, email, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Email the show. We'd love to read that email over the air. Also, if you want to watch the show, the live simulcast of the show is up and running. You can catch us real simple. You can catch the show, Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Again, that's Ustream.tv. You can do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and we will be right there. And then Facebook Live should be up and running. I'm not sure what's going on, but it should be up and running, and you should be able to find us right there as well. Amen. I'm just going to make sure that's working. I'm not seeing the link on my regular page, but I'm assuming it will be up there shortly. Very strange. All right, but we'll get that. We'll check on that and make sure that's up and running. I see myself broadcasting, but I'm not seeing anybody else can see it. So we're going to make sure that's up and running. Amen. So look, y'all, man, I'm excited again. It is Friday, end of the week. It seems like it has been a long week, and it has, man. I mean, from everything that went down on Monday, and I'm still over the top excited about the events of Monday, and then Wednesday's show was just amazing as well. But still excited about what went down on Monday over at the Lifeline Church with Pastor Reggie Worrell and the crew, and my sister Angela and everyone else, and Pastor McCall Harris. Michael Carson in California and all those guys. And then that was great. And then on Wednesday's show was just absolutely good. It was good stuff, man. So we've been on the roll lately, and it's just good. And God is just good. So we just have to make sure we give him the praise for that, because he's just that kind of God, man. And when you have the opportunity to give him some praise and some glory and lift up his name, that's exactly what we ought to do. So we definitely want to make sure we do that in everything. That we do. Amen. So look here, y'all. I'm going to keep the show going. I'm going to take a real quick break. And when I say real quick break, we're going to see if we can get this Facebook Live thing back up and running. And we'll be right back, y'all. Okay? Hey, TT, hello. Get your praise on. That's what we do. You should come on and join in with us. We'll be right back, y'all. TT, hello.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen. We are back. We are back live. That's right. We are back live. Whew, man, took a little bit ahead to get that fixed. Hopefully that works out for Facebook Live. I'm going to check and see if we were able to get that thing up and running. Let me see. Yep, there it is. All right, we good. Now we're good. Now we're good. So look here, man. So much stuff going on. Man, once again, I got, you know, y'all, I told y'all, you know, I don't get excited about a whole lot of stuff, but the Olympics, especially the Summer Games, is something I really get excited about. Once again, Usain Bolt just destroyed the field yesterday in the 200-meter final. I mean, literally. It is just not fair. It's not fair that brother runs the way he runs. And it yesterday, now, let me tell you this. Yesterday, he did run a little hard. I mean, he still beat everybody, but he was running a little hard because he was trying to prove a point. I think he really thought he was going to break another record. The track was a little slippery out there. And I just find it odd that they make them run in the rain, but I guess the way the track is made, you won't actually slip. But, man, that brother just ran. And what I like the breakdown of what they did as far as him. They said when he runs a typical 100 meters or whatever, the average sprinter has to take 46 to 47 steps. He only has to take 41 to 42 because of how tall he is. Because he's like between 6'5 and 6'7, somewhere in there. So he literally is taking less steps, which means he's covering more ground in less steps. So if you're going to beat him, you not only have to jump out ahead of him, but then you have to maintain that pace. What he does is he hits, and this is what they broke this down. I love sports science. They broke it down and said he's literally running 23 miles an hour, and he runs at 23 miles an hour the whole time. There is no deacceleration until he crosses the tape. So literally he runs at 20. Now, you can think in your car, that's not that fast, 23 miles an hour. But next time you get in your car, just go 23 miles an hour and see how fast you're going and wonder if anybody could keep up with your car. I mean, it's insane. It's insane, man. He is that good. So big shout out to him. Shout out to the ladies who finished in the 100 meter. I believe it was the 100 meter hurdle. No, the 400 meter hurdle. Yesterday, who finished 1, 2, 3 bronze, silver, and gold. Man, so big shout out to them. And then to our ladies in the relay, who at first were disqualified. Because the baton, they dropped the baton. Y'all know we've had conversations on this radio show about dropping the baton. That's a whole nother conversation. But shout out to them for they protested their disqualification. Found out that somebody in the other lane bumped into them before they even got the baton passed, and that's an automatic. So they got a chance to rerun again to qualify, and they ran on the track alone. It's an interesting video to see because they actually ran by themselves. So they got a chance to run again, and now they have the highest qualifying time, so they will be in the final on tonight. So that should be good. That should be good. So, man, it's good stuff, man. So next thing you got is tonight. So you got the ladies' final in the relay race, and then you have the men's final, I believe, in the relay race. So Usain Bolt has an opportunity now. Watch this. He has an opportunity to win his 9th gold medal if they can win the relay race tonight. Now, of course, I'm rooting for America. I'm rooting for the because we just coming up short in the relay. I mean, we just really coming up real short in the relay. We coming up short. I mean, because it's not. I mean, I don't even know what to tell you. But we just coming up short, man. So I don't know. Once again, I keep asking the question. Now, y'all is excited about. Excited about the Olympics. I mean, I know it's over. They're about to get ready, about to shut it all down and get ready for the closing ceremonies and everything. But on the other side, can we talk real quick, just real quick, about these swimmers who lied about this whole robbery thing? Can we just talk about this real quick? So y'all know the story. Four swimmers from America. They accused. Okay, let's get out of that. got a big time delay. These guys said that they were pulled over by the police. They said they were pulled over by the police, and the police robbed them. Well, people dressed up as police officers robbed them. That was the story that they gave us, that some guys dressed up like police officers robbed them. And everybody, you know, felt some kind of way about it, and we all jumped in on it. And so here we go. Ryan Lochte, gold medal winner last in the previous Olympics. I think he won a silver medal, or silver or bronze this year. He's a pretty famous swimmer. He has a reality show, something, you know, some craziness like that. Apparently, they have them on tape vandalizing a bathroom at a gas station in Rio. Literally, they kicked the door in. They tore some stuff off the wall. And the security guard came and caught them while they were getting in a cab trying to leave. And the security guard made them stay at the place. Now, you can see on the video, that he asked them to step out of the car. They were all on the ground. And then now the story gets a little fuzzy, because they're saying that they paid him. One story says they gave him $50 for damage. Another story says they gave him $400 for damage. Either way, it was all done under duress, under gunpoint. Now, that's the story that they were telling people. That's the story. Now I don't know what really happened. But we're starting to find out. But now what's coming out is Ryan Lochte is saying he embellished a little bit. You know, that's the politically correct word for I lied. Or I added to the story. He embellished. he had not added to the facts, and that he had been a little bit more candid. So now, and then you watch this. So now you told this whole story. Rio already was on edge, because everybody thought you was going to die for going to the Olympics, because you was going to catch Zika. They thought you were going to get robbed over there, or they thought, that the buildings were going to fall apart, because nothing was supposedly ready. So all these things were out in the atmosphere, and now all of a sudden you're talking about athletes being robbed. And now we find out that he pretty much just told a big old fat lie. Just a big lie. So couple things, and I love Chris Rock. Comment on this. Chris Rock is hilarious. You know, the comedian Chris Rock. He says, y'all raise all holy hell because Gabby Douglas didn't put her hand over her heart. She didn't put her hand over her heart while they were playing the national anthem. But then Ryan Lochte is over there tearing up stuff, lying on the country and doing everything else. And it's nothing. And the hashtag is white privilege. White privilege. Now let's be honest, y'all. This story had so many holes in it. It had more holes than I have never seen anything this crazy before in my life. You just make up. Now, is it because you're at the end of your swimming career? You're 32 years old. You did well, but unfortunately you were around at a time when Michael Phelps was You're at a time where Michael Phelps is the more famous swimmer. So unfortunately, you came along at a time where, you know, you were good, but there was somebody who was greater. So now you're doing things to keep yourself in the news. You got this crazy reality show on, I believe it's on A&E or whatever it is, Being Ryan or whatever that mess is, and now you're in another country. You know, bad mouthing these people. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of stuff was wrong in Rio. I mean, that's odd. We know that. But they didn't need any help. They need you criticizing what was going on. And then you just make up a story about four armed men dressed as police officers. Now we see the tape. There was a security guard. Oh, wait. Then he said a gun was put to my head. Ah, I like these comments. Okay, so. Let me read some of these Facebook points. It says, let's see here. What's worse than that? What's worse, that or Vic killing those dogs? Really? Don't make me talk about the Michael Vick and the dog stuff, please. Please, not today, because this show will go way left. And I know I got a whole bunch of dog lovers out here who like dogs, but I am not going to get into that. What's the other comment? But thank you, Monique, for the comment. Let's see. Yolanda, what does it say? Sounds like police officer Joe Glenowitz all over again. Right. Mr. G.I. Joe, the American hero, found out he was extorting and he was stealing money from the police explorers union. He was stealing money. Right. Right. The media was all behind him too. Y'all do remember that, right? And the suspects. Don't get me on that again. Please answer the question. What's worse, that or Vic killing the dogs? Let me see. I'll say this about Vic killing the dogs, and then I'm moving on, okay? And I'm only going to answer because my Auntie Monique, I know she don't get to listen that often, so I'm happy she listening. So let me answer the question. What's worse, Vic killing the dogs or what this dude did over there? I'm going to say it like this. I understand that animals have lives. I get all of that. And I understand that Michael Vick was responsible because he was the owner of the house where the dogs were killed. I also know that the record says that he physically took place or he took part in himself of killing some dogs. But for him to have spent 18 months in a federal prison, not a what do they call it? A boot camp, not one of these glorified hotels that they put the politicians in and these other folks. But he was in Leavenworth. Just Google Leavenworth prison and tell me what you see. He lost everything. Don't get me wrong now. He did his time, but then even after doing his time and coming back, y'all, people was out there protesting everything this man did. And he's still out talking about the Humane Society and the ASP, whatever, the other animal cruelty thing and all that stuff. He's still out there, and people still got beef with Michael Vick. But then these people, you're right, lied and embarrassed our country. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on. If Brazil came to us today, if the people of Rio, if the government of Rio and Brazil came back to us today and said we want to press charges against the ones who filed a false report, I believe we should put Mr. Ryan Lochte and the rest of the cats back on the airplane and extradite their behinds back over there to do the time. I don't care if they only got to do 6 months. Send their behinds back over there to do the time and to face the charges. It's just that simple. Because you didn't just, you embarrassed the entire Olympic, the United States Olympic Committee. You embarrassed the country. Because here's the deal. We know how rampant the crime is in Rio. So the minute you said you were robbed, we instantly believed you. Because there is record of another athlete being robbed the day he got to Rio. A Korean athlete was robbed at the airport. There's a whole scheme. So they had two guys. One guy came and threw up on him, and he went to change his clothes in the bathroom while he was in there trying to get his clothes together and clean himself up. Somebody else came along, grabbed his bag, and left, took all his stuff. And they got the guys on tape. They actually could see the guys on tape ahead of time plotting this out. You see the two guys working together, and then he comes out the cab. He's all by himself, and all this stuff happens. So when you hear about people being robbed in Rio, then there's all these videos. Then there are all these videos online that you can go on and watch right now of these little kids snatching people's purses, snatching cell phones, and doing all types of things in Rio. So when this thing happened, when the story broke, we believed it. Now, yeah, we were a little naive because we know what we know. Rio is Rio. Again, even when you had a chance to clean this up, you did an interview When they denied it, you came on and said, no, it happened. There was a gun put to my head. That's the story he said. He put the gun to my head and cocked it. So yeah, I'm going to side with this is worse. This is worse. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I'll side with you and say this is worse, but I'll tell you what people would say. There is a large group of people in this country who still believe Michael Vick should still be in jail for them dogs. There is an enormous group of people who still believe Michael Vick should still be in jail for those dogs and still should have never had the opportunity to come back and play in the NFL. That's just the fact. And we know this to be true because all you have to do is go onto Michael Vick's Twitter page and look at the hate that people are still spewing. Ryan Lochte, yes, he's on the front page of the newspapers, but 2 weeks from now, you won't hear anything about this unless Brazil says they want to press charges. I promise you, 2 weeks from now, we won't hear anything else about this Ryan Lochte mess, even though he is an embarrassment to the country. But we don't get embarrassed in this country. Hell, we got Donald Trump running for president. So, I mean, if that ain't an embarrassment, I don't know what is. And real quick, let me move on. But thank you so much for the comment. Speaking of Donald Trump, so he has fired yet another, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say fired, another campaign manager has left the Trump campaign. Another one. Now, once again, I'm going to keep telling y'all the same story. I truly believe this is all a complete setup. I truly believe this is the biggest set. This is, I'm telling you, there will be a movie. Mark my words. 10 to 15 years from now, I pray to God I'm still healthy and y'all are too. 10 to 15 years from now, we are going to get a movie about this election campaign. It's either going to be a movie or an HBO series, one or the other. Because if this is not a version of, this is like Scandal versus House of Cards versus, what was the other show that used to come on with Charlie Sheen's daddy? What was the name of that show? Somebody help me out, y'all. I can't think of the name of the show. That's bad business. One of y'all help me out. I cannot think of the name of the show. But it used to come on about the White House and all that stuff in Washington, D.C. But, it's a combination of all of those shows. And because it's a complete joke. Donald Trump, I'm gonna say this right now. He has no intention on being president. He does not want to be president. He has no intention on being president. And if he quits and backs out, he will be the laughing stock. See, right now he can lose. He can lose and then turn around and say, well, America just wasn't ready for this, this, and that. But if he quits, he already has no respectability with half of the country. But if he quits, he will then be called a quitter by the people who support him, and he doesn't want that. He's getting more fame and more popularity as a political, as someone running for president than he ever has, The only thing we knew about Donald Trump was his companies have filed for bankruptcy 4 or 5 times, and that he has a show called The Apprentice where he says, you're fired, and that he's been married, how many, 3, 4, I don't know, right, that he's right. Seriously. So if he quits, it's going to make him look. See, he don't mind looking like he looks right now. He don't mind. He don't mind that because he's one of those people that says any publicity is good, is good publicity, good or bad. He's one of those mindsets. So he doesn't mind. But if he were to quit, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that would hurt him more than anything else. So he's not going to quit. He ain't going to quit. And I guarantee you, he is ready to be done with this mess. But it just goes to show you, and again, I'll say this again. I am not a Hillary supporter. I am not a fan. Because I just don't trust her. See, I know Donald Trump is crazy. You see what I'm saying? I know he is stone crazy. Hillary, I just do not trust. And that's a problem. I just don't trust her at all. And it just keeps this constant thing. It's like my biggest fear is that, you know, Hillary, because she's going to win. I'm sorry, she is. It's done. It's a done deal. She's going to win. I mean, you can think what you want, say what you want, but she's going to win. And it's unfortunate. My biggest fear is that we're gonna wake up and, you know, she actually, and I'll say this, and this is, you know, I know my Democratic friends and family probably finna get mad at me, but I'm gonna say it anyway. She could be the first president the second president to be impeached. She could be the second Clinton to go through the impeachment process. I am very serious. And even in all that, unfortunately, she is the better of the two candidates. So, yeah, that's that, y'all. That's that. So, look here, y'all. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep the show going, man. Look, it is good. It is Praise Break Friday, y'all. That's what it is. It's Praise Break Friday. So, look here, y'all. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump right on into today's conversation. Make sure I didn't miss nothing else that was going on in the news. But we're going to jump on into the conversation. But look here, y'all. In the words of one of my favorite praisers, Bishop Larry Donnell Trotter, I like the man, hear the brother say, he is wonderful. TTLO, y'all. We be right back.
Tell somebody he is wonderful. Now put your preaching voice on, say he is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful he is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler Wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say Wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be. I don't mean to push this point, but is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful? Just go to about three people, say he is wonderful.
I love it. Oh, man. Look here, y'all. It is Praise Break Friday, and, man, we have great, great conversation that we're about to get into real quick. Hey, you know what? Real quick, I just want to send some encouragement out to a friend of the show, George Jody Beatty. Man, look here, man. Look, I'm in your corner. I just want to make sure I say that to you publicly. I'm in your corner. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Let folk going to do what they're going to do. Folk going to be, you know, the very folk. Some of the very folk that walk with you, they only walk with you so they can get their own shine on. So I'm going to say this, and I have no problem saying it. You keep doing what you're doing out on the corner of Central and Madison, and you keep doing it, man, because guess what? God knows what you're doing. God sees what you're doing, and he knows the reason why you're doing it. And don't let anybody or anyone deter you from that fact. So folk gonna come, folk gonna go. But at the end of the day, you keep doing and following the assignment. You keep doing and following the assignment that God gave you. Because no matter what happens, no matter what transpires, God is going to look to you to see if you followed in faith what he told you to do. So I want to make sure I say that to you publicly. The STV movement, the Stop the Violence crew that's out there every Wednesday. And then let me tell you something else these guys do. They get on their bikes at night, right? And they actually ride through the Austin community at night. They literally get on their bikes at night. Their bikes got little flashlights on them. And they're literally riding their bikes through the community. That's an insane commitment. And I love it. And I love it. And it should be applauded. It should be applauded. Now, if people want to come out and work with you and then go and try to establish some stuff and do it, you know, so, you know, that's fine. But don't, you know, I don't like, y'all know me, I'm not about mess. And I think it's real messy when people try to use people just to get to some point and then go and do something. And, that, you know, if that's how you operate, then you know what? Just be about it. Say, man, look, can I work upon you until I go establish myself? You know, can I apprentice upon you? Can I intern? Can I intern or something? And then I'm gonna go do my own thing, and that's fine. But don't and then just up and just, you know, disappear without any recourse. So I think that's kind of bogus. It's kind of bogus. It's kind of weak too, actually. It really is. It really is. In my head, I said I wasn't gonna say nothing, but my heart wasn't gonna let me not say nothing. So I just want to put that out there again. The STV crew that's always out there on Wednesdays, you know what? Y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man, because you know what? Things will happen. Things will happen, and God will prosper what it is you're attempting to do. So don't let anybody deter you from doing what you're doing, man, because this is good work. It's good work. And I'm TTLO Radio will continue to support. Let me put it that way. So now, so just in case anybody had any questions, let me say it that way. Let me let you know my position. I'm standing with the crew that's been standing. I know new folk coming and all that, and that's wonderful. And if you're successful, then God bless you. And I hope God is with you if what you're doing is for God and not just to get your face on somebody else's TV camera or be on somebody else's live stream or somebody else's radio show, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Done with it. You follow me? Done with it. All right. So let's move on. We got this really, really good article, right? It's Praise Break Friday, and I just want to jump right into this. So the question is asked, and the writer is asking this question in the article. He's saying, are you insulting God? Are you insulting God in your worship? And I'm going to take this in a direction that I'm going to stick with the article, but I'm also going to just say, are we insulting God, period, with our faith? Are we insulting God with our lifestyles? Are we insulting God with our lack of faith? Are we insulting God with our lack of commitment? You know, it's easy to just show up to church on Sunday. You know, it's easy to clap when they tell you to clap. It's easy to jump when they tell you. That's easy. But are we being authentic with our worship? Are we being authentic with our giving? Are we being authentic with our support of the local church? And when I say support, I don't just mean money. Can we make sure I'm talking? Make sure y'all hear me. When we say support, I don't just mean money. I'm simply saying, are we being authentic? Or are we insulting God with what we give him, with our efforts or with our half-hearted efforts? It's a good question, man. So let's jump into the article. The writer of the article is Sam Storms. Sam Storms. And the article is located on desiringgod.org. Desiringgod.org is where this article is located. Let me give you all the links real quick. Those of you watching on Facebook, just in case you don't have it, let me give you the link real quick. Y'all should have it already. If y'all on here, y'all ought to be following. If you're watching me on Facebook, that means you ought to be already following the TTLO page. If you ain't, I don't know what the problem is, but you need to come on and get on board and stop playing around. Because, you know, we for real over here. I just wanted to say for real. I ain't said it in like 10 years. So look here. So here's the article. Make sure everybody, people, y'all on Ustream. Yeah, y'all got it. Ustream be on it. I ain't mad at y'all. Y'all be on it. Okay. So here's the article. Let's see what it says. The writer says this. The misunderstanding of a short three-letter word can transform an act of heartfelt worship into a slanderous insult. Wow. He says, perhaps you've heard Matt Redman's song, I'm Here or Here for You. That's the name of the song. Here for You. And are familiar with its lyrics. Here's the first verse. Now, I've never heard the song. Guess I'm about to load it and see. He says, let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Okay? Then he says this. He says, little words can mean a lot. They can make a difference between good and evil, between heaven and hell. In this case, a right understanding of a single word is the only thing that prevents an act of worship from denigrating into a colossal insult to God. It's the word for. F-O-R. Stay with me. Trust me, this ain't going to be deep, but it's going to get you, but it's going to make you look at worship a little bit different. And the reason I say that is because I believe some of us in the church, I believe some of us in the church think we're doing God a favor by showing up. I believe some of us in church think we're doing God a favor by singing, by ushering, by preaching. I believe we think we're helping God. Mm. So the writer says this, here to help. He says, imagine for a moment that a person in your church has fallen ill and is bedridden. Then he says, while he's helplessly laid up, his house suffers from disrepair. The yard is overgrown and desperately in need of care. And you and a small group from the church show up unexpectedly at his home, prepared to do for him what he simply cannot do for himself. And you make the statement, and he asked this question, why are you here? He asked, what is this all about? And you respond, we are here for you. Everyone gives that same response in unison. Thinking about the meaning of for in that sentence, you are telling your friend that you are present in order to provide a service for him. He is weak and sickly and in great need, and you and your friends are here to do for him what he lacks the strength and ability to do on his own. Is in lack. We're talking about the friend. Stay with me. Don't lose this. He says, you are here in order to supply for him a service that he is unable to accomplish on his own or on his own power. Then he says, watch this. Once the house has been cleaned and the yard has been mowed and the hedge is trimmed and the trash hauled off, he says, I can't believe you are so kind to me. He says that you would provide this service for, again, the word for there, that you would provide this service for me is amazing. He says, I've been so weak and exhausted and I simply didn't have the time or energy to do for myself what you've done for me. Thank you so much. Y'all follow me? Don't get lost. This is so simple. He says, what are we doing when we gather corporately and sing our praises to God? What is our intent? What is it that we believe we are achieving? When we sing, we are here for you. In what sense do we use the word for? Again, here is the question, and this is why this is important. We need to get out of the mindset that when we are up singing praises unto God, that we're not singing praises for God in an essence of he needs us to do it because he needs us to worship him. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Because God is God. He doesn't need anything from us. Can I say that again? He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need you or I to do anything for him. For him, meaning that if we don't do it, he will be in lack. So he says, the writer says this. He says, God does not need you. I told this lesson too. I gave this illustration in a Bible study I was teaching a few months ago of our praise and worship about the difference between the God we serve and the Greek gods and the gods that are spoken about in the Greek. Zeus and all of those people. Those gods got their power because they needed the people to worship. If you've ever read any of the stories, they needed the people to worship them in order to maintain power. They got elevated because the people worshiped them. They flourished off of the prayers of the people. See, God is God whether we pray to him or not. Our God, Jehovah God, is God, whether we pray to him or not. He is still all-knowing. He's still all-powerful. He's still omniscient. He's still omnipotent. He's still omnipresent. He's still all of those things, whether we ever talk to him or not. How do I know that? Can we go to Genesis at the very beginning, where it simply says, in the beginning. Huh? Don't get lost. Don't get lost. Don't get lost. Let's come on. I mean, let's talk about it, because we need to recognize what it said. It's real simple. It said in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So whenever this thing began, God was already. So, I mean, there's no getting around to that. So what I said that to say is God does not need us. We're the ones who are in lack. We're the ones who are in need. We're the ones who are missing something. We're the ones who are striving to get something. So when we talk about need, we need to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position to make it look like we're doing God a favor. No, I'm not trying to do God a favor. I'm trying to remain in God's favor. That'll hit you before the show ends. We really need to recognize, I'm serious. We really, really need to recognize that God is not one who needs. Let me read what the writer says. He says, if you are singing and praying and praising and preaching in order to do for God what you and your friends did for that sickly, needy man, you have now insulted God. He says, now why do I say that? He says, consider what the Apostle Paul said in his speech on Mars Hill, Acts 17:24. He says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life, breath, and everything. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. So the writer goes on to say, simply put, God does not need you or me. He is altogether self-sufficient and dependent on no one. He is, in fact, watch this, the one who is responsible for the existence and the preservation of all life. The writer says, your life, my life. Therefore, he cannot be served. Served meaning like given unto, in the lack of like a waiter. You can't treat God like a customer and you're the waiter saying, how can I serve you? How can I feed you? You can't. See, when we go to restaurants, when we go to sit down at the table, we sit down with a need. We hungry. we thirsty. You know, we can't ask God, God, can I get you a glass of water? No. God, can I get you a sandwich? Huh? No. God, I'm gonna sing you. I got this song. I'm gonna sing. I can sing to you. I can worship you for who you are, but not worship you for you. Don't get confused by what I just said. I can worship you for who you are, but not worship you because you need it. Don't miss that. Don't miss it. So we need to get to a point and recognize that it's not about God. It's not about us worshiping God for because he needs it. When you sing praise and worship, when you sing in a choir, when you preach the word, when you teach the word, you're not teaching the word for God, meaning the, using the word for in essence because he needs it. You're teaching, you're preaching, you're praising so that those around you can recognize who God is. God is not, his existence is not dependent on whether or not I pray. His existence is not dependent on whether or not you show up at church on Sunday. Y'all can, and I'm just using this as an analogy. Everybody on the planet can stop going to church Sunday, and God gonna still be God, huh? He gonna still be who he is, whether you worship him or not. But when we get the mindset that I'm doing God a favor by showing up on Sunday, or I'm doing God a favor by running this half-hearted program, then you are insulting God. That's just a true statement. You are insulting God, and watch this. I would go so far as to say you're insulting his people when you do half-hearted things. Let me continue. So the writer says this. He says, therefore, he cannot be served as if he were needy or exhausted or weak or lacking something that only you and I and the people of your church can supply. He says, to arrive on a Sunday morning and declare to God that we are here for you in the sense that you believe there is something you can give to God that he doesn't already have, or that you can shore up a weakness or fill in a gap or overcome some deficiency, is to insult God to the very core of his being. Once again, there is nothing you and I can give to God, especially in an instance or in an instance where we're giving it to him because we believe he doesn't have it. Can I talk about money for a hot minute? I know money is a hot button issue in the church. I know it is. So you don't pay your tithes because God needs your money, okay? You don't give offering because God needs your money. Huh? The Bible simply says that the cattle on a thousand hills is his. Let's skip that. Let's go to Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 24. I believe it's Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, y'all help me, and the fullness thereof. That, okay, so the earth, this big thing we floating on, that's turning around, this thing we sitting on, it says the earth is the Lord. So if the earth is his, then what is my tithe going to do for him? So God is never going to be lack. So don't get it twisted thinking you're doing God a favor by writing that check every Sunday. Don't get it twisted because you show up and you write the big check out and, I'm a tither, so, you know, whatever. So, I'm doing. No, you're not doing God a favor. What you're doing is you're keeping covenant with God. So don't give money out of some twisted sense of I'm giving this because God needs it. Ah, that's right. You're right. That's why worship leaders should not prime members. You're right. We shouldn't have to pump in and prod you. You're absolutely right. That there needs to be a natural sense of relationship between you and God. Not this, well, I give this to him because he needs it. You know, you take a vitamin in the morning. Those of us who take vitamins, or you take vitamins because your body is lack or deficient in some areas. God is not deficient in any area. We don't praise him because he needs it. We praise him because he deserves it. Ah, yeah. I made my own. We don't praise him for what he does. We praise him for who he is. You ought to get the mindset of praising God simply because of his existence. But you say, well, preacher, and here's the deal. People will say, well, I don't get that. Well, and if you don't get it, it's because you don't have a relationship. Here's my thing, and I'll look at it like this. I would not ever want to imagine what my life would look like without him. And because of that reason alone, when I start writing down the reasons of why I praise God, after I get down all the cliche reasons, you know, where we praise him for who he is, after we get past all that, then I start thinking to myself, because this is when I make my own self shout. I start thinking about it like this. What happens if I didn't have God in my life? Where would I be if I didn't have God in my life? Where would I be if I didn't have a relationship with God? And when I think about that, I don't need nobody to pump me. You ain't got to tell me to stand up. You ain't got to tell me to clap. You ain't got to tell me to do nothing. Because, see, when I know it sounds cliche because we hear it quite often, but you know, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I know it sounds cliche, but see, you got to take that. You don't say that because somebody else said it. You have to say it because you recognize where would you be. I see y'all watching. I see y'all on Ustream. I see you. I'm just saying, when you think about where would you be? See, I can't praise God. I can't worry about the person sitting over here. Oh, I can't worry about somebody sitting over here who ain't praising. It concerns me sometimes, but I really can't. I can't let my worry for why you not praising deter me from praising. What does the comment say? It says, I agree. If it doesn't come organically, don't force it. And then what's that? Some people say I got to hear hymns. What's the difference between I need thee every hour and he made a way? Ha. And we've talked about that. Thank you so much for the comments. We've talked about that. But here is the difference. I cannot, you know, there's nothing wrong with the hymn, I need thee. Let's start there. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the hymn, I need thee. But everybody, I'm sorry, if you were born in 1988 or later, somewhere between 85 and later, I need thee might not have the same meaning to that it has for me, or that it has for my mom or for my grandmother or those people. So it's different, but that doesn't take away from the worship. If that's what you need to get you to worship, then go for it. But watch this. Don't then turn around and criticize me because I don't understand where you're coming from with the I need thee. You see where I am? You don't get yourself so caught up in, well, and then even for the millennials, don't knock the old folk because they want to sing, you know. And I have no problem with hymnals. Hymnals, not the book, but you know, hymnals. But I have no problem with hymns. But watch this. I do have a problem with those hymns. Some of the hymns that were sung because they were written out of a certain precept or pretense. They were written because of what people were going through in the field. And then we take those songs and we try to ingratiate them into our churches when ain't nobody in our churches been a slave. Y'all don't make me go into this. I'm really trying not to go there today. We have not. Now, don't get me wrong, I made this comment and some people say, well, some people have. But let me make sure I say this correctly. Nobody that I know. And I know some folk, let's see, 80, almost 90 years old. Now, if they pick cotton, can I say this? Can I say it like I feel? If you pick cotton and you're living today, you picked it because you wanted to. You didn't pick it because somebody had a whip behind you. Huh? Yeah, all them folk is gone. So if you pick cotton, if you pick cotton, And you still living today. You didn't pick it because Massa made you pick it. You had the choice. Okay, so I ain't talking about, but some of those songs were written for, you know, and y'all know that we talked about this on this show too many times, so I'm going to move on. But some of that stuff is just, you know, let's move on. Ooh, Lord. Anyway, let's keep going. So he says this. The writer says this. When we sing, we are here for you. In what sense? Yeah. So here we go. He says, simply put, God does not need you or me. Then it goes all the way down to the bottom. I like what he says here. He says, that is why we must be extremely careful that we are never there for God in the sense in which we might be there for an invalid or someone who is destitute of the resources to care for him. Watch this. He says, here to be refreshed. He says, but let's go back to your gracious and loving service for your friend who is bedridden. He says, let's assume that after your hard day at work in his yard is 100 degree temperature, you are desperately thirsty. Suddenly there appears a truck at the curb offering ice cold refreshing water. He says, you run to the driver and say, hey, we're here for you. Your obvious intent is that you are here for what the driver can supply. Uh-oh. He says, you don't pretend to bring him anything other than your thirst. You are desperate for refreshment. Without it, you will faint. You are there humbly asking him for what he alone can provide, life-giving, thirst-quenching, soul-refreshing water. He says, that's how we are here for God in worship. We come to worship God for refreshment. Come on, somebody. We come to worship God so that he can refresh us. We're the ones coming into the temple lack. We're the ones coming into the temple empty. We come into these big old churches every Sunday, these huge offices on all parts of the city, and we're supposed to come with this vessel, this one, empty, so that he can then fill us up. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. He says this. He says, we cannot add to God's resources as if he were lack. See, and see, preachers, I got a problem with preachers when we talk about the resources, because the resources of the church, of the local church, and the resources of God are two different things. And any pastor or preacher that tells you different, can I say that on the rate? Yeah, I'm going to say it. Yeah, y'all pray for me. Any pastor that tells you different is an out-and-out lie. Out-and-out lie. We cannot confuse the resources of God with the resources of the local church, because local churches lack resources all the time. They do. I don't care how big your church is. I don't care how small your church is. Local churches lack resources all the time. God never lacks. So don't stand in front of the congregation when your local church is asked and when your church is in need of resources and try to twist this thing around and say God's church needs X, Y, and Z. No. The local church might need. God has. Huh? See, God has. So you cannot try to twist this around. If the church needs to be remodeled, God has already supplied the resources. The problem is you as the local church have yet to tap into said resources. Huh? We have a tendency to, and this is where people sometimes get twisted, and this is why so many people have left the church, because of improper teaching. I love I love the conversation we had on Monday with Pastor Royal and Pastor McCall Harris over at Lifeline Church when we did the show over there, and the conversation moved towards tithing and finances, and you know, we had one pastor there who did not agree with tithing, and we had another pastor, Pastor Reggie Royal, who did agree with tithing, and what we found out was where even though they both disagreed, they did agree that part of the reason people don't or do is because it was improperly taught. You know, because for years, I heard people, you know, because we read that scripture. Y'all know the scripture, Malachi 3rd chapter, 6th through the 12th verse. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your father. You have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Y'all know the one. that scripture. Because we've read it over and over again. Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. And ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? And then there's this part right here. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes. And, okay, so let's get right there for 1 minute, then we're gonna move on. You as a preacher, pastor, minister, whatever it is, stop telling your folks they gonna be cursed. If you teach the covenant of tithing and you teach the covenant of what that means, of breaking a covenant, you don't have to tell people they're going to be cursed. Tithing is a covenant connector between you and God. Yes, the money goes to the church. It's the commitment behind it that connects you to God. Because the church can run up and screw all that money up in a heartbeat. Y'all know I ain't lying. Some of y'all done been to some churches. Some of y'all at some churches. Some of y'all have been a part of some churches. But churches can screw up money all the time. But that has no reflection on why you gave it. So see, even if you were taught improperly, you gave it with the mindset of, I'm giving this because God requires that I do this. I want to be in right standing with God. See, there's a difference between require and need. There's a difference. We just talked about what God did need. There's a difference between require and need. Require means this is something you have to do. So we can't get so twisted that we start to try to fool people and stuff and twist words around and take scripture out of context. Let's continue. The writer says this. He says, about being refreshed. He says, that is how we are here for God in worship. He says, we cannot add to his resources as if we were in lack. He is infinite and immeasurably abundant and needs nothing from us. Rather, we are here for God in the sense that we need him as a thirsty man needs water. Mm-hmm. As a hungry traveler needs food, as a bankrupt beggar needs money, as a guilty soul needs forgiveness, as a broken heart needs healing, as a lost sinner needs salvation, that's why we are here. Mm. He says, only he can supply what we lack. Only he can give us what we need. Maybe we need to start looking, and this is why so many folk in church are heartbroken. Y'all get mad when the preacher mess up. Y'all get mad when the pastor leave and all this stuff happens. At the end of the day, they are men. We are all men, all fallible, all fallible. You can't get mad when the pastor leaves or if the pastor screws up or makes a mistake or does that. Because, see, you set people up on these pedestals, man-made, that is, man-made pedestals. And then you expect them to get it right every time. The only person that's going to get it right every time is God. Every time. But we got to get out of this mindset of God's man can't be he can't have any frailties. He can't have any deficiencies. He can't be lax anything. He can't have any shortcomings. Well, let me help y'all out. If y'all want a pastor or a priest, please tell me give me the address of the church, the church home where the pastor is perfect. Let me know. Please give me the address so I can, because I just want to interview him. I've never spoke to a perfect person before. So please give me the address, email, voicemail of the preacher. Where the church at? I just want to know, because we have a tendency to put, and you know what's so amazing? We put expectations on people that we ourselves not only can't live up to, we even refuse to try to live up to. What if the pastor came to church late every Sunday? You late every Sunday, so why would you be mad? But I guarantee you, some of the very people who were late, if they heard that the pastor was late, because see, guess what? If you late, as long as he beat you there, you don't know that he late. But if you heard and all of a sudden they said, well, you know, the pastor late all the time, y'all will be the first one talking about, well, he need to be there. Where you need to be? Where your hips at 11 o'clock? Oh, you still in the car? Oh, I'm sorry, you're still in the shower. Okay, I'm just curious. Where y'all at? We want to put expectations on these people that we ourselves can't meet. But he's a man of God, and because of that, he needs to do this and do that. Okay, he's a man of God, and you're a woman of God, and you're a man of God too. So what is your problem? Come on. Let's keep going. So the writer says this. He says, if we gather for God, thinking that he stands in need of us, we insult him. But if we gather for God to drink deeply and feast upon all that he has for us in Jesus, we honor him. He says, by the way, we should give Matt Redman credit for making this quite clear in his song. If we ask of the lyrics, he says, why are you here for God? The answer is, let your breath come from heaven, fill our hearts with your life. See, the worshiper comes not to infuse God with breath, but to receive it from him. Can I make that plain for you? God blew his life into us to give us life. We can't turn around and blow breath back into God and give him life. Huh? Do I need to make it plainer? Your mama and your daddy did the do. Oh, my God. Your mama, and your daddy, you know, they did the do to give you life. It ain't nothing you can do to turn around and give your mama and your daddy life. Don't miss that. Now it can't get no plainer than that. It really can't. I really think that we don't get it twisted. God blew his breath into dead, lifeless bodies so that we would have life from him. Mm-hmm. We can't turn around and give life to something that created us. Okay. So he says, let me continue. The worshiper could not infuse God with breath, but to receive it from him. The worshiper makes no pretense at filling up what is lacking God, but cries out that God fill his heart with divine and supernatural life. Come on now. Y'all don't miss out on this. He says, such is how a simple short three-letter word can be used to either denigrate and dishonor God or to honor and extol him. He says, may it always be the latter when we come together and say we are here for you. So we need to understand something, you know, about worship. Worship is never intended to put us in the forefront or before God. Putting us before God, meaning before him listed as number one, but to put us before God as the empty vessels that we are, looking for him to fill us up. So when we say we come before you with thanksgiving, meaning we come before you with heads bowed, we come before you laying prostrate. We come before you asking you. We come before you in all of our sin, in all of our frailty, in all of our shortcomings, asking God for forgiveness. We need to recognize that God is not a God of I need. He's not like a president who needs Congress to pass the law. He's not like a pastor who needs the trustee board to get something accomplished. He already came and accomplished. He already did all of those things. So he does not need us. And once you recognize that we are the person, that you and I are the ones that are in need, that's when our worship moves from this surface type level. That's when our Christian education moves from this surface type learning into a different atmosphere. Because now we move, because here's the deal. Sometimes your worship service is so dry. Sometimes our worship services can be so dry. They can be so dry, and the reason they're dry is because we don't elevate our level of worship, because we stick to surface. One of the commenters on Facebook said this earlier. They were talking about, they asked me this question. They said, what's the difference between I Need Thee and Made a Way by Travis Green? And this just hit me. If as a kid, your parents sang all those old Negro spirituals. You know, I love the Lord, he heard my cry. Shine on me, all those songs. And they sung them. And then you inherited them because you sung them too. Here is the difference. They had meaning for your grandparents. So it wasn't just a song for them. It was something that was inside of them that was their way of expressing. For you, it's just a song. So for you, it's just surface. For you, it has no deep-seated meaning for you other than grandmama sung it. Don't miss that. That's why when people sing "We Shall Overcome" and those songs were sung and they were marching, you know, with the new movements of the day, they're not singing that song. Because we overcame that one, we overcame some stuff. Some other stuff we're still fighting for, and the song is going to be different. Y'all want to sing "We Shall Overcome"? I want to sing "Fight the Power" by Public Enemy. Huh? Now I'll ask that question. What's the difference between "We Shall Overcome" and "Fight the Power"? I want to sing "Fight the Power" by Public Enemy when I march. I don't want to sing "We Shall Overcome." I understand what "We Shall Overcome" meant to the people who marched, but when Public Enemy wrote the song "Fight the Power," I understood it. I understood it because it related to the circumstances that I was surrounded by. So it was nothing for me to understand. I understand the purpose of those old hymns. I understand what they were written for, and I understand the meaning they had, because the people who sang them then, they meant something to them because of the time that they were living in. But you can't take a child who was born 20 years ago and think that they're going to have the same reverence for "Shine on Me" that you had or that your great-grandmother had. Because, see, "Shine on Me" meant something different to her. Because, see, if we study music and we study history, that song was really written for other reasons. It was brought to the church from the field. Let's be honest now. It was brought to the church from the field. And it was brought, and it was in the field more as a message than a worship. It was more of a song of message than a song of worship. It was a way of relaying messages from one people to another group of people saying, hey, it's okay to run. It's okay to go now. Now, don't get me wrong. If your great-grandmother who was a part of that and she grew up in that because her mother sang it to her, she can relate to it. But if you have kids that are 16, 17, 18 years old, 22 and 23 years old, and because your church has been singing these songs for years, and they're singing them out of tradition, not out of it being a heartfelt feeling, not out of it meaning anything to them. It doesn't mean anything because they're just singing it because, you know what? Because mama sang it, so I'm singing it. It's not increasing your, it's not helping your relationship with God. You have to think about it like this. There's this show. Oh my God, I just thought about it. There's this show that comes on called Greenleaf. Greenleaf. It's this new show comes on. I believe it's on the OWN Network. It's on Oprah's channel. And everybody's been watching it. Church folk are loving it. But it's really giving you some insight into the black church. And about some stuff that has gone on for years in the black church. But here is the one thing that I like about it. The pastor, the father, Pastor Greenleaf, or bishop, whatever, I think that's his title. He has children. He has a son. He has and he has two daughters. The son became a preacher because the sister who was preaching left, and he thought that it was his place to preach. He's preaching not because he's called, but because his father preached. Don't miss this. In this show, he's preaching not because he feels like he was called to preach. He's preaching because he feels like he's obligated to preach because his father is preaching. I believe that some of us of age, those of you, some of you all under 40, are still dressing, singing, and conducting church services in the same way that your great-great-grandmother did, not because it's increasing your relationship with God or because God called you to do it that way, but that's because of the way mama did it. Now, don't get me wrong. Some stuff mama did, I want to do. Yes, I agree. If you can make a cake like my great-grandmama, then please make it. If you can cook like my mama, please cook it. But some stuff when it comes to ministry, when it comes to worship, that's not, if God has not called you to that, then maybe we ought to rethink that relationship. Maybe you ought to rethink exactly what is my spiritual gift in the church. The video keeps pausing. That's on Facebook. That's not me, y'all. If the video is pausing, that's Facebook. I don't know what Facebook is doing. But it's one of those things where we have to recognize why we're doing what we're doing. It's just like now. If you know you could be I'll tell you now. It's just like we keep having these gaps, these age gaps, this ageism in the church. So now, you know, praise teams are the thing now. Praise teams. A lot of churches have replaced their choirs with praise teams. Okay, fine. But now you got a generation of Christian rappers. And there's a lot of Christian rap that I'd rather not listen to. Because it's not because the words aren't good. It's not because the words aren't good. I think because mostly it's not very well produced. It just doesn't sound that great. Yes, the words are relevant. Yes, the words are very relevant, but the production value is not that great. But that doesn't make it any less meaningful for the person doing it, because that's his ministry, that's her ministry. So when it comes to worship, we have to recognize there are going to be different worship styles. But if you're worshiping God in the style in which that's been passed down through generations of your family, and you're doing it only because it was passed down, not because it's getting you closer to God. Because guess what? You don't know nothing about the God of the field that those who were enslaved were singing to. Okay, because you don't have that experience. You don't have that experience. You don't know what it's like to be chased through rivers and climbing trees and to be whipped and all that. You don't have that experience to sing that song. So you're singing it based off of some meaning traditional meaning, not out of some spiritual meaning. And I have, and please don't say I'm bashing tradition, because I am not bashing traditional. I am not. I believe tradition has its place. But tradition, I've always said this, when tradition becomes a hindrance, something got to go. When tradition becomes a hindrance, something has to go. And when you hinder people out of your tradition, because I say this all the time, you can stick to all those traditions if you want to, but traditionally, folks who look like me used to have to ride in the back of the bus. I don't see nobody wanting to keep that tradition alive. Traditionally, you couldn't sit, you couldn't go, you had to get your food at the back door of the restaurant. I don't see nobody wanting to keep that tradition alive. Well, there are some people, but you know. My goodness. Look, y'all, hey, man, look, I enjoyed this article. If you did not read it, please take a chance, go back, take some time, and read the article for today's conversation. Are you insulting God in worship? Because I truly believe if we are going to praise God, it needs to be based off of our relationship with him. If we're going to worship him for who he is, it's based off of what he means to us as the individual, not what he meant to your grandmother, not what he meant to your grandfather. It's based off of what he meant to you as an individual. Because watch this. Pastors leave, you know, people go, well, I'm quitting church. And I'm quitting church because the pastor did this. Or I'm quitting church because the first lady did this. Or I ain't going back to church ever again. Okay, so you quitting God. So what you're saying is you're going to allow man to separate you from God. I can understand you saying you're leaving a church, but leave a church and then find another church. But don't say, well, because of what that man did or because of what that woman did, I'm done with church. Because it's just, I've said this, I always find it amazing how quick we are to quit church. But we'll go back and we'll give certain restaurants 3 and 4 chances. I tell y'all all the time, if some of y'all watching this video, watching me on Facebook Live, some of y'all watching me on Ustream, those of you listening to me on the radio right now, y'all will go to some restaurants, especially those of y'all on the west side. There's some restaurants on the west side that have been closed down 2 or 3 times for health reasons. They've been closed 2 or 3 times for health reasons, and y'all keep going anyway. But y'all will give these restaurants chance number 2, 3, and 4. But the minute the church mess up, y'all want to leave. So stop insulting God with false pretense of worship. Give God true worship, meaning worship from your heart. Everybody can't sing. Then guess what? Stop. Don't. And that's not. I'm not being funny. Everybody can't sing. And if you can't sing, don't hum the words. Hum the melody or speak the words to the song. Everybody can't preach. That's why I mentioned that show Greenleaf. I mentioned that show very plainly. The father recognized, and it was a poignant scene last night where the father talked to his son, and he said, well, I watched it yesterday. I was watching it yesterday, so, you know, but I know it came on the other day. But the father was telling his son, this ain't your calling, and you know in your heart this ain't your calling. So why try to do it out of tradition's sake? Stop letting other folk put their calling on you, and then stop doing stuff out of some obligation that you believe, well, I need to do this because my grandmama did it and because my granddaddy them did it, or my mama them sacrificed everything they had to build that church up and I got to stay there. But in the meantime, you're staying there in a situation that is a detriment to you. So in the meantime, you're sacrificing your relationship with God in order to maintain something that mama, daddy, grandmama, and granddaddy built. Maybe God didn't call you to work in that particular ministry. If God called you to ministry, maybe it was to go somewhere else. But we're too busy trying to keep up appearances. We're trying to keep up appearances to say, well, you know, this is my a family church. That's fine that it's a family church. But maybe God wants you to take your family and go somewhere else. Amen, Angela. Do you in Jesus. You right. We can't continue to do things the way that we're doing them, and then think that and then wonder, because this is what happens. This is what happens. This is how you have resentful saints. This is what creates a resentful saint. You go to church for years because your mama and your grandmama went there. You sing the songs for years that your mama and your grandmama sung. And then you have and you're having not necessarily the best life. And then you want and then you turn around and go, I've been in church 35, 40 years. And my life is like this. I can barely keep my lights on. I can barely keep the cable on. I can barely do this. I can barely keep money in my pocket to get to work. I can barely do this. And then you turn around and you look at the God that you serve. But see, you're not serving the God. You're serving the God that your mama and daddy created in your head. You're not serving because, watch this, if you were serving him in the way that you should, you'd be serving him based off of your relationship with him, not off of the one that mama and daddy had. But see, we're serving God out of some obligation because we don't want to insult grandmama and granddaddy. That doesn't work, people. That doesn't work. And then you end up becoming you end up being angry with the church because you served this church for 35 and 40 years under false pretenses, not because the church did it, but because you never established your own relationship with God. Because if you establish your own relationship with God, he will then start to direct your path. And two things will happen. He will either show you the light of the church you're in, or he'll say, hey, like Abraham, get yourself up together and get away from your kindred and go to a place that I will show you. Huh? Look, y'all, we got about 90 seconds left in the show. Father God, we come right now, Lord, just to say thank you, God. We thank you for the writers of this article, God. We thank you for understanding about what worshiping you really is, God. We thank you for understanding that we don't come to church to serve you in the capacity of us giving you anything, God, because we recognize that you don't need anything. God, we thank you for giving us the ability to recognize that we are the ones who are in need. We are the ones who are in lack. We are the ones who come wanting. We are the ones who come thirsty. We are the ones who come hungry to the altar. So, God, we just thank you for being the one who can fill us up. We thank you for being the God who can supply every need. We thank you, God, that there is an everlasting in you, God, that there is never any lack in you. So, God, we just thank you for who you are, not for what you do, but for who you are. And we just say thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, y'all, look, y'all, I got to go, man. Time has ran out. Them 90 minutes have come and gone. Y'all have been absolutely wonderful. I thank y'all for sticking with me all week. I think, once again, big shout out to Pastor Reggie Royal down at Lifeline Church for that amazing, amazing show on Monday. Angela and Pastor McCall Harris and Michael Carson and all the crew. Thank the TTLO crew for all the hard work this week. It's been a good week. Maybe I'll buy y'all some food or something. But it's been a good week. Man, it has been absolutely awesome. Appreciate y'all. Y'all stay blessed. And if you live in the city of Chicago, keep your head on the swivel. TTLO. Y'all stay blessed, man. We out.
What you say now? What you say now? In the city.